The U.S. and Russia have agreed to extend a treaty that restricts the arsenals of some of the deadliest weapons known to humankind. The New START treaty limits the number of long-range nuclear warheads and intercontinental ballistic missiles that each country can maintain until 2026. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said in a statement that the treaty reduces the risk of a costly, dangerous arms race. But does it go far enough? Here and now, security analyst Jim Walsh joins us now. He's with MIT's Security Studies program. Hi, Jim.
Good to be with you, Peter.
Good to have you. And the New START treaty dates back to 2010. Here's then-President Barack Obama at the signing in Prague.
Today is an important milestone for nuclear security and nonproliferation and for U.S.-Russia relations.
So now, Jim, the treaty extended for another 5 years. What will that do exactly?
Well, among other things, it limits the number of what are called deployed strategic warheads. That is, the weapons that are ready to fire at targets across the globe. And it limits those to roughly 1,500 for each side. It's technically 1,550, but we'll round it off at 1,500. Now, to be clear, the U.S. and Russia have thousands and thousands of other warheads not included in this treaty, tactical nuclear warheads, those in reserves, et cetera. But it does limit and verify what is loaded in the chamber, if as it were, and that's a big deal.
It is, because look, the treaty, as you say, doesn't do anything about shorter range nuclear weapons. I mean, is it really making the world safer?
No, it's a fair question, and I would answer it this way. It would be a big deal if it had expired. You know, as it is, things have been heading in the wrong direction for a while. Several landmark agreements have gone by the wayside, and so the whole enterprise was sort of teetering. And so if we had lost this, that would have been a major blow. But you're right. You know, it's good, but good doesn't represent progress. You know, a week ago, the U.S. and Russia together had something like, depending on how you count it, 13,000 nuclear warheads, enough to more than wipe out the planet. And today, we still have 13,000 nuclear warheads, enough to wipe out the planet. So good that it's stabilized, but there's a lot of work. And we seem to be skating. Our rate of progress has declined over time.
And it wasn't that long ago that the Trump administration had tried to renegotiate the deal on the condition that Russia address its entire arsenal and that the deal included China. Do you think it was wise for President Biden to renew without conditions?
Yes. I mean, they really didn't have much of a choice here. I mean, it takes years to negotiate a new treaty in the nuclear world. And they wanted to, as you say, make a new agreement, the Trump administration, and include a new member. But they waited to the last minute to sort of get serious about it, and then the clock ran out. So basically, Biden's choice was either extend or withdraw, and certainly extending was way, you know, a much better choice than junking the whole thing and, you know, opening up a bad world of arms racing. So I think it was the right move.
It is interesting to me to see these two rivals renew this treaty with relatively no conflict, considering the fraught relationship they have on other issues diplomatically.
Yeah, absolutely. But I would say the Biden approach, looking back, you'd have to call it a traditional approach. This kind of arms control or the New START treaty is really essentially an extension of work that goes back to the 1970s through Democratic and presidential administrations. And through all that time, Russia did bad things. I mean, Russia, the Soviet Union was really bad. Russia's bad. I could list all the things that are objectionable. Soviet Union was terrible. But in both cases, it was clear that mutual nuclear suicide was not an answer to their problems. So both countries have had to try to find ways to compete, to oppose each other, while simultaneously trying to reduce the risk of nuclear war and not stumble into something that ends up killing the planet.
Right. Well, some have criticized the administration for striking this deal with Russia just as that country is cracking down on dissent and putting Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny in prison. State Department spokesperson Ned Price pushed back on that idea yesterday.
As we engage Russia in ways that advance American interests, as I just said, we can also remain clear-eyed about the challenges that Russia poses. Even as we work with Russia to advance U.S. interests, so too will we hold Russia to account for its reckless and its adversarial behavior.
Jim, broadly speaking, what have you seen so far in the early days from the Biden administration in its relationship with Russia?
Well, again, I think they're trying to do two difficult things at the same time, which is you have no choice but to do it. Russia is a great power. it's not going anywhere. You know, it has 6,000 or 7,000 nuclear weapons. So you got to deal with reality as it presents itself. And nuclear weapons aren't going to solve, you know, the Russian human rights problem, which I think is a problem. So on things where Russia is bad, on cyber attacks, on Syria, on human rights, we need to go after them and pressure them and try to constrain their behavior. But it's in our interest and their interest not to let that competition spill over and affect the decisions we make on nuclear weapons, or we'll both be losers in the end. So I think almost any president is confronted with this when they're dealing with a Russia or a China. Compete and cooperate where the opportunities present themselves.
Here and Now security analyst Jim Walsh. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter.